Our holy God speaks to us today that which has been told from the beginning. The Word of God is the foundation of the world and the foundation of our lives. We listen for the word God speaks to us this day. Speak, O God, for your servants listen. Good morning, and welcome to Concordia. We want to extend a special welcome to all visitors this morning. Please take a moment to sign the attendance pad on the inside aisle. There are a couple of announcements to highlight this morning. Today is the deadline to turn in the tamale sale forms. Forms can be found in the back of the church. Please turn the tamale order forms into the church office. You can pick up your tamales next Sunday, February 11th, as we will have a joint worship with Hispanic Ministries from Reedsburg. We will also have a potluck lunch next Sunday. This will be the final week of including the Seen into the Future surveys in the bulletin. The surveys were put together by the church council. Please take the time to fill them out and turn them into the church office. Thank you. The Valentine's Extravaganza is quickly approaching. This event is being organized by the Nurture Committee and will be on Sunday, February 18th from 2 to 4 in Fellowship Hall. Karen and Kendall Schlittler will be leading dancing and activities. There will also be a cakewalk. If you would like to donate a cake for the cakewalk, please contact the church office. This month, the Stock the Schools are collecting individual fruit cups, new hairbrushes, combs, headbands, and barrettes. If you would like to donate these items to help Sauk Prairie Schools, children in need, please place them in the bin in Fellowship Hall through the month of February. This week, the SOFAs will be meeting at 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday at Eagle Inn. And a reminder that there is no confirmation or youth group this week because of the shortened school week with Sauk Prairie Schools. Rachel Ruland is going to be going to Tanzania at the end of February. The mission team is asking us to fill a suitcase with items for the orphanage. The list of items will be in the weekly chimes and bulletins for the next few weeks. The United Methodist Women 2018 booklet is available on the podium at the back of the church. Are there any other announcements this morning? Please stand as you are able and join me in singing our opening song, In the Singing, number 2255 in the Black Hymnal. Join me in our praise as printed in your bulletin. Have we not known? Have we not heard? Has it not been told to us since the beginning? Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us now sing, Lord of the Dance, number 261 in the Red Hymnal.
Thank you.
join me in prayer printed in the bulletin. Gracious God, you call us to follow Christ and spread the good news of your love for all people. Help us to become all things to the people that might reach them in your good news. Amen.
The young ones to come up to the front of the church. Good morning. Hi there. How are you today? Are you being shy? Okay. Griffin, I'm going to ask you to either sit down here, because I can't see you there behind your sister. Okay. Thank you. Okay. What I want to talk about this morning is the kinds of things that Jesus did when he was here. Do we know any of those things? Remember some of the stories that Jesus, we hear about? Yeah, there's Jesus up there, right? That's a cross. That reminds us of Jesus. Yes, okay. So one of the things that Jesus did was he died on a cross. Okay? What else did Jesus do? What did he do when there was a whole crowd of people there and it came time for them to eat and there wasn't any food? There was like thousands of people. Do you know what he did? He took what he had, he gave thanks to God, and there was enough food for everyone. What did he do when a little girl was very, very sick? Do you know what he did? He healed her. And what did he do when someone had evil spirits in them? He helped them. He cast them out. And the spirits even knew who Jesus was. And they were afraid of Jesus because they knew of his power. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about what people did in response to Jesus, and that's not the scripture that we're going to read this morning, except it kind of tells the same story, but I want to sing the song for you that goes with that other scripture. Okay, it goes like this. There's a hole in my roof. It's the truth. I wouldn't spoof. It was put there for a man with diseases, so they could lower him down to see Jesus. Why did they want to lower him down to see Jesus? If he was sick, what did they want him to do? Heal him, that's right. But then there's other considerations, because what follows that part is the guy who owns the home says, so what'll I do if it rains? Having a hole in my roof is a shame. I'm glad he's feeling better and he's up and around. But if it rains, I'm afraid I'm gonna drown. There's a hole. What we always go back to is there's a hole in my roof. And why it was put there is for a man who was sick and needed healing. And Jesus did the healing. So Jesus fed people. Jesus helped people to get rid of the evil that was in them. Jesus healed people. And there's one other thing that Jesus did. Well, more than one, but one other one that I'm thinking of. Jesus preached. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is coming near. There's a way that we can all live that helps us to see who God is and helps us to live like God wants us to live. Okay? And that's when the people learned about that, that's when Jesus was preaching. Okay? So Jesus did a lot of different things while he was here, and every one of them pointed to God. Every one of them, he said, reminds people of who God is. So is there anything that you have seen this week that might say, oh, that was a good thing, that reminds me of God? Anything you saw this week? Was anyone kind to you this week? Let's say, that reminds me of God. Did anyone feed you when you were hungry this week? That reminds me of God. If you are sick, does anyone care for you? What do we say? That reminds me of God. Okay. And that's who Jesus was. He was the one who always reminded us of God. So when we have those things in our lives, we are going to stop and go, that reminds me of God. Okay? All right, let's pray. Jesus, every day we come here, we are reminded of who you are and how you showed us who God is. And so we are very, very thankful. Amen. Thank you.
Our first reading today is a responsive reading. The responses are printed in your bulletin. Praise the Lord, because it is good to sing praise to our Lord God, to our God, because it is a pleasure to make beautiful praise. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem, gathering up Israel's exiles. God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. God counts the stars by number, giving each one a name. Our Lord is great and so strong, God's knowledge can't be grasped. The Lord helps the poor, but throws the wicked down on the dirt. Sing to the Lord with thanks. Sing praises to our God with lyre. God covers the skies with clouds. God makes rain for the earth. God makes the mountains sprout green grass. God gives food to the animals and the baby ravens when they cry. God doesn't prize the strength of a horse. God doesn't treasure the legs of a runner. No, the Lord treasures the people who honor him, the people who wait for his faithful law. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The second reading today is Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to the deserted place, and there he prayed, and Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For this is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons.
Thank you, Ella. In the olden days, I think all of us will remember, except the four young ones. In the olden days, when we wanted to get from one place to another, we would use what was called a map. The map was usually used by the woman who was giving directions. What? Well, I wasn't going to say this, but the reason that it was used when the man was driving is because if she wasn't using that, He wouldn't know where he was going, and he wouldn't stop at a gas station. Anyway, we used a map, and because it was paper and something that you had to follow, you really did need someone who was giving direction. Today, we can go from place to place with our telephone, our cell phones, and it will give us the directions where to turn right and where to turn left, and it would say, now you can go 4.3 miles, and that's where you're going to turn. I mean, it's wonderful. You don't need, men, the woman in the passenger seat. Okay. The signposts along the way are still there. We need to be shown or told what those signposts are. And that is what I believe the scripture that we hear from Mark this morning is doing as well. Mark is telling us that there are signposts for Jesus' ministry. And we've seen them earlier in Mark, but this morning there's something different about them. One of the signposts is that Jesus healed people. One of the signposts was that he cast out demons. Another signpost was his teaching. And this morning we hear about his preaching ministry. Jesus had many ways to proclaim what God was doing in the world and what the kingdom of God was like. Jesus had many ways to witness to this. And what all of this does is shows us the power that Jesus had been given. Jesus knows that that power is necessarily connected to his prayer time. So although Jesus had healed all who were sick and he'd cast out all the demons, that's what Mark tells us, all those people in that community had been taken care of, their physical needs, their spiritual needs. That had all been provided for them by Jesus. And so Jesus went away to pray, and the disciples came and said, the people want to see you. The people want to know what you can do. And Jesus really dismisses what the people wanted. He said, I've come here to preach. And that doesn't take away from anything else that he did. But Jesus says the purpose for him to be here, the main thing, is the preaching. And in this, opening up who God is to the people who are following, in this, we see Jesus in ministry. The difference in this particular passage from the others is that people have started to hear about who Jesus is. And Jesus was becoming popular. That's what is different here. Everywhere he goes, crowds are gathering. The disciples say, everyone's looking for you. Scripture doesn't tell us this, but I would guess that Jesus was a little bit uncomfortable with that. Because they weren't following him because he was showing them who God is. They were following him because of the miracles that he could do. And Jesus didn't want to be a magician. That's not who he was and or called to be. And so Jesus says, let's go in the other direction, so I can preach elsewhere. That is why I've come. Jesus is telling us that God's kingdom is more than our health. And Jesus although is the Messiah, is not comfortable with how the people are seeing him as Messiah because he looks like the most fantastic physician of all time. When the people started coming, Jesus didn't do what we do in churches sometimes. The crowd's all there. And he says, wow, with everyone here, we're going to have to expand our parking lot. Wow, with all these people, we're going to have to add more seating to our sanctuary. Wow, we're going to need to put a big curtain, not only here, but in the fellowship hall so that the people can see what's going on in there as well. So that they can have a good view of me, Jesus said. Jesus shuns the crowds. Jesus withdraws to be alone. The Messiah was not one who was going to corrupt them riding in on some kind of chariot and make people's problems all go away. The Messiah wasn't going to overturn the Roman Empire. Being their Messiah is not what Jesus wanted. When we think about the people who were following him, we are reminded that their interest really had to do with who they were rather than who Jesus was. If they were really involved with who Jesus was, Jesus would not have been alone when he went to the cross. Someone among them would have stood up and said, no, don't crucify him. This is a good being. This is a good man. But no one said that. Soren Kierkegaard was a Danish philosopher. And he writes, Jesus' main ministry was about something more significant than even an occasional, though spectacular, healing. Jesus' reason for coming was to preach. And in the preaching, he would inaugurate God's kingdom. In the preaching, he would announce the arrival of a new divine order. And Jesus inaugurated that. We know that it's here and not yet. That's our experience. We know that spectacular feats of healing did not make people whole. Jesus' miracles did not give people all that they needed in their relationship with God. They came, they were healed, they followed, glad to see the wonders that he was working. But they had little desire to see, to understand who Jesus was or to work for Jesus. Christ came seeking followers, and he got a few dedicated disciples, but he got many more admirers. Admirers appreciate the person, but they don't follow the person. They don't sacrifice for the person. They don't work for the person, because admiration costs nothing. I have been a longtime follower, no, a longtime admirer of Garrison Keillor. Back in the, when he began the Prairie Home Companion, someone introduced me to that, and I wouldn't miss it on Saturday nights for many years. That was the constant in my life when nothing else was constant. I was like a Beatle maniac for Garrison Keillor. And the two times I saw him, and unfortunately my children were both there at the time, they saw a side of their mother that they just couldn't imagine was there, because I became flustered so that I couldn't even get a sentence out. I became flustered in his presence. And I had two pictures taken with Garrison Keillor's arm around me. And I was smiling. And my kids just kind of shook their head the way I was responding, because I don't do that for a lot of people. And so I'm one of those people who was also disappointed and disillusioned when I heard that there were women who also said of him, "Me too." I had so hoped that he wouldn't be one of them, the men that people said "me too" about. I'm not a follower. He's not my savior. We note that when Jesus went to the seashore and spoke to the fishermen, he said, "Follow me." And they got up and followed. They didn't sit there and think, let me sit back and see if that's the place that I want to go. Let me consider that a little while. Scripture tells us, Jesus said, "Follow me," and they got up and followed. It was later that Jesus talked about the cost of discipleship among those 12 disciples. It was later that Jesus said, "You're going to have to pick up your own cross and follow me." We know how they responded initially when Jesus was taken to the cross. We do have the account that later on they did have some understanding. I'm guessing that most of us have heard someone say, "I've accepted Christ. I am now a Christian." We've accepted Christ, we're a Christian, and that's all we've got to do. But we know that's not true. It's more accurate for us to say, "I've accepted Christ. I'm now becoming Christian. I met Christ, and I'm pleased with who I see that he is, but I know that I've got a lot more to learn." Mega churches can have people, 1,000 people a year, join their congregation. But when you talk to them, they also have about 1,000 people a year who drop out of their membership. One of the United Methodist pastors who's at one of the mega churches says that we're better at attracting people to Jesus than making disciples of them. When Jesus called those people, those first 12, he called them to be disciples. And as we receive a call from Jesus in our lives, we are called to be disciples, people who are going to stick with Jesus throughout the whole trip. We need to do more to invite and welcome new life into our congregation. We need to do more to attract more people to our church. Not so that we've got more people, and it might be easier on our budget, but we attract new people because there are people who still need to hear that good news. There are people who still don't know that they are welcomed by God, loved by God. There are still people who don't know that there's one place that they are okay. And don't we all get messages every single week that there's something that's not okay about us? So as we sit here on Sunday mornings, we can remember, oh, I said the wrong thing to my daughter. I shouldn't have said that. And I know I failed. But with Jesus, I can make it better. The main thing that we have to share with others is that Jesus has made a difference in our lives. And in talking about the difference that Jesus has made in our lives, we invite others to have Jesus make a difference in their lives. The scripture reminds us today that not everyone who comes is going to stick with it. But that's the way things were right from the beginning. 9 out of 10 Americans say they believe in God. 7 out of 10 Americans say that they pray from time to time. A considerably small number of people attend church. That's a low level of commitment. We have believers, but not joiners. There are admirers, but not followers, and certainly not disciples. And that's why, on this snowy Sunday morning, it's remarkable that you all are here. None of you are here because you've got this Christian faith all down pat. None of you are saying, see you at Easter. Your presence says that you have followed, that you came out of that admiring place, and you're disciples. You didn't show up one Sunday and say, oh, Jesus, I've got, I didn't mean that in the way sometimes it's said. Jesus, I've got this backache, can you fix it? Or Jesus, I've got this very, very sad long-term family dilemma. Can you wave your magic wand over my life and make it go well? That might have been our first encounter with Jesus. We might have even been healed, but that can't be the end. And in coming back, you've received more from Jesus. Because you've stayed, it is a tribute to who Jesus is in your lives. It doesn't mean that there aren't miraculous healings, there aren't spectacular exorcisms, but they have nothing to do with Jesus' mission.
His mission is sharing the good news of God. And we share the good news of who God is through the man Jesus, through the Christ Jesus, because we have experienced him. And we know that there's more teaching, there's more lessons for us to learn, there's more calls upon our lives that we have yet to say yes to. And we can sit here and say, I didn't get it all right, but I'm here because I want to. That's the example of the early disciples as they continued to follow. And that is the example that we have to share. More than admirers, we are disciples. Amen. I invite the ushers to come and to receive our offerings. Let us pray together. We sing to you, O God, with thanksgiving, making melody to you with our praise. Use these gifts to spread your gospel near and far for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As we pray for people this day, we want to remember Marilyn Arnold, who is an aunt or cousin of Irene DeVos.
We want to remember the Bill Condor's family. Bill's wife is Marissa. Marissa and Andrea are sisters. And Marissa and Bill have a 9-year-old son and a 4-year-old son. He was diagnosed with aggressive stage 4 cancer and passed very quickly. So we want to remember them in our prayers. Alice Kinchy is at St. Mary's Hospital again. She's got some issues with the water retention. And Ann Feeney has asked for our prayers. She's been in a lot of pain for a few weeks, and they discovered a herniated disc. And so she's going to be facing some kind of some surgery in the future. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you have called us to be your disciples. You found a way to find us and seek us and save us. And you would like us to share what we have found in our lives. We pray that you would give us grace to continue searching for you, to take time to listen to you, to be willing to be surprised by you, to deepen our knowledge of you. Help us to understand that you alone can offer us a new way of life. Remind us again of the names that we have spoken, the situations that concern us, praying for your healing touch, that same touch is offered to us in Jesus' name. Hear our prayers of celebration, thanksgiving for the people among us who have had surgery, those who have received what seem like miraculous healings. There are a number among us who have had surgery this during the month of January. And it is amazing. Lord, we want to keep walking with you. But we need you to help us in our weakness, to correct us when we choose easy answers or quick fixes. Help us to be your disciples as we hear your call, as we see the kingdom come near. Help us to open that to others. Hear all our prayers in Jesus' name. For we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Will you turn to page 15
the red hymnal, please. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have created the earth and sky, the sea and stars, and all living creatures therein. Your works are the essence of majesty and honor. Your righteousness lives forever. You demonstrate your power in strange and unexpected ways, from the birth of your Son in a manger to the gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit, calling us to love one another. The works of your hands are faithful and just, and your mercy endures forever. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to cleanse us from our sin and to bring us newness of life. In the power of the Holy Spirit, he healed people and taught us as one who had authority. He brought a new teaching, a teaching of love, forgiveness, and the power of God for justice and mercy. On the night before he died for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you for the bread, broke it, and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Gracious God, pour your Holy Spirit out on us and on these gifts of bread and the cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ for the world. In his name, amen. I invite you all to come to the table. This is set by God. Let us eat the food that God has prepared for us. Let us drink the wine of the new covenant. Come, the table is set. All are welcome. This morning we will receive communion at the rail. And again, I want to say, in the United Methodist Heritage, all are invited to the table.
bread and in the cup, God provides for us all that we need. Receive the spiritual gifts of Christ. Having received the grace of God in the bread and the cup, go into the world and serve God. Eat, drink, be filled for God's kingdom. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this mystery.
in which you come and abide in us and through us. Amen. Our closing hymn, 367, we will sing one verse and the benediction and then the second verse. 367 in the red hymnal. Jesus Christ, to the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, go knowing that God brings you peace at all times. Amen.